My name is Soen Park, and I'm the host of Sayer for Ballet. This podcast is designed to highlight the diversity problem in the ballet world and illustrate experiences from students, guests, and experts, and inspire people to advocate to limit racism and break stereotypes in ballet and the arts. Let's get started. Welcome to an episode of Sayer for Ballet podcast. Today, we're interviewing Ellen Roberts. Ellen attended UNCSA as a ballet major and Metropolitan School of Arts as a dance musical theater major. She has spent summers training at Bolshoi, the Washington Ballet, Dutch National Ballet, Pittsburgh Ballet Theater, and more. She spent this year training at the Nashville Ballet and will attend Boston Conservatory at Berklee next year to get her BFA in musical theater. Hi Ellen, nice to have you here. Just diving in, can you introduce yourself and give a brief summary of Humans in Dance Project?
Sure. So, hi, everyone. My name's Ellen Roberts, and I just finished my last year training with Nashville Ballet. And I started Humans in Dance Project, I think, back in September. And I think I just started it because I just wanted to create a platform just very similar to Stairway for Ballet, where I could just have the dance community have a place where we can talk about the issues that are so prevalent in the dance world right now. And I think my main goal is just to have a space where it's like okay to talk about those problems so that we can move forward. So it's not supposed to be a negative thing. It's just supposed to be an outlet so that those things kind of become normalized and hopefully we can build a better dance world going forward.
Mm-hmm. I saw you at Instagram. Is that the main component of the project or is there anything else?
Yeah, so I have the Instagram and then I also have a podcast, which is a little bit more of just kind of me talking about various topics. Sometimes I have guests or sometimes I think it's really moved from I try to do a lot of informational stuff, but you know that can be really hard, especially because like I'm the only person running it. I try to do those, but then it's really just turned into much more of like an interview kind of page, just where I literally talk to like anyone I can get in contact with or anyone I might know who wants to talk about something in particular. So I'll post, you know, those interviews on the Instagram, and then I'll post the occasional podcast episode kind of whenever I'm like feeling inspired.
Yeah, I think this is a great project. In terms of the podcast, I can attest to that because I've done some informational podcasts and interview podcasts, but interview podcasts seem to be way easier just because informational podcasts sometimes feel like you're talking to yourself. So can you tell me a little bit more about your dance journey and experiences? I know you've been to the Nashville Ballet and now you're going to the Boston Conservatory. Just a little bit about your journey.
Yeah, so I started training at Washington Ballet when I was super young. And then I went to UNCSA, which is University of North Carolina School of the Arts, my freshman year of high school. And then I trained there for, I think, like 3.5 years. And then the dance, so I was a ballet major. Dancing was, you know, fantastic there. But then I kind of like reached a bad mental state. I went through some depression. You know, I was dealing with like, at that point, I was about a junior. And I think my like eating disorder was getting better. But it just kind of felt like it was time to leave. So I actually ended up leaving halfway through my junior year. And then I transferred to a school back home in DC, which is called Metropolitan School of the Arts. And there I kind of was able to do a lot more than just ballet, which was like really amazing for me because I was like, I love all styles of dance. It's just ballet is just so like consuming. Sometimes it's hard to break out of that. So then I also started singing and acting alongside training in ballet. And so then this year, I kind of realized like maybe I'm ready to pursue musical theater instead of ballet. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to Nashville Ballet. I'm going to do a year there being a trainee. And then I'm like kind of ready to move on. So then I luckily was accepted to Boston Conservatory this year for musical theater. So I've kind of been all over the map a little bit, but bottom line is I just love the performing arts. And so Humans and Dance Project is hopefully going to expand a little bit more outside of like just ballet issues. But yeah, that's basically it.
That's so cool that you're doing musical theater now. Do you think ballet helped you in musical theater in some way?
I think it did, just because ballet just teaches you this certain discipline and that you kind of bring into every other aspect of your life. So it's like, if I am learning a song, I'm like just as, you know, careful about like the notes and the pitch and like how I'm gonna act through the song as I would be with like, you know, my technique in ballet. So I think ballet just really teaches you so many valuable lessons. And I'll still be doing ballet next year, and I'll be, you know, doing classes at my school, but obviously it's not going to be as much. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be, it's going to be a weird transition for me, but I think I'm kind of ready. Ballet is so, it's such a double-edged sword, you know, it teaches you so many valuable lessons, but it can also be really, really hard.
Yeah, I agree. So you mentioned your experience and journey in dance. What motivated or inspired you to start Humans and Dance Project? So again, your experience regarding ballet and dance.
I think it's hard to pinpoint exactly what started it. I think, you know, it's been just many years of really, really hard mental issues with ballet that I kind of realized up until this year, I'd kind of been suffering through it alone, which is weird because I feel like every dancer, at least that I know, goes through some form of an eating disorder or anxiety or depression. And while I did talk about those things here and there with my friends, we didn't really speak about it like super openly. And so then it just got me thinking, because every time I had like mentioned it to anyone, been like, oh yeah, like, you know, I used to like starve myself, or yeah, like sometimes, you know, I just get really bad anxiety in class because I'm nervous or whatever. People would always be like, oh my God, like I feel the same way. Like I can't look at myself in the mirror some days, like da da da. And then I was thinking, and I was like, it seems like there's not anything really on the internet that, you know, acts as an outlet for dancers to kind of talk about those issues. You know, there's like Dance Spirit magazine and like Point magazine, but those are really just, you know, magazines that talk about dance versus like the issues in dance, such as like, I mean, everything from sexual harassment to eating disorders, again, to racism. Like it's just, ballet is a really problematic art form that doesn't really align with, you know, what's happening in 2021. So I was like, I really want to find a way to be a part of a solution, or at least not like contribute to the problems in ballet. So I was like, you know what? Why don't I just start it? Like, why can't it be me? Why can't I be the one to try to do this? So that's kind of how I got started. And yeah, I mean, it's been hard. It's really, I'm sure you relate with like the Instagram account. Like it can be tough to like keep up with it when life gets so busy, but like I feel like I just have to keep going and like get back on track, because I like owe it to everyone in the dance community and like people who have like reached out to me, you know, like it means so much. So that's kind of why I started it.
So how do you think Humans and Dance Project work to limit the issues in ballet that you talked about earlier, like body dysmorphia, toxic positivity, gender bias, anorexia, etc.?
First of all, I mean, the first step is just to acknowledge that those things should not be tolerated, because right now they are absolutely tolerated. Some of them are encouraged even. And this goes for pretty much every single company out there. Honestly, I mean, there are some companies that do better than others, but I just think the first step to fixing any problem is literally just to talk about it and acknowledge that it's not okay. So, you know, I know that putting that information out there isn't going to necessarily solve the problem, but I figure if I can bring this to people's attention and kind of make them realize, like, this isn't something that we have to put up with, like, we can shape, you know, whatever we're gonna do in the next generation, like, hopefully it can have a positive effect. So that's at least what I'm trying to do. And by interviewing people and letting them share their stories and their struggles, just to give people an outlet and realize that you are absolutely not alone and every single dancer goes through this.
Yeah, I think just looking at people around me who dance, they also go through these things. And I think this is such a great project for people to speak up about these things. So what were some of your initial goals and how did they change over time?
I didn't intentionally go into it thinking that I would be doing so many interviews and like conversations with people. I think that's kind of what I want the page to turn into more. I think I realized that I do want to keep putting out informational posts about like certain issues, but it can be kind of tough, especially like, you know, I'm like a white cis woman, so I have a lot of privilege in the ballet world. So sometimes it can be hard, like, oh, should I speak about this issue? Because like, I don't really know if it's my place. So sometimes issues that I know exist in the dance world, I don't necessarily feel like I'm, you know, or knowledgeable enough to really give out information about it. So I try to research thoroughly, but I think it's really just mostly turned into conversations and just giving people who maybe didn't have a platform before be allowed to like speak on these issues. So I feel like I've transitioned more into just being just the person there that's like letting other people kind of speak and just share what's happened to them so that that can help other people.
A platform to speak up.
Exactly.
So what has been the most exciting or gratifying thing about starting this project?
I think it would have to just be having people like DM me and reach out and be like, this meant a lot to me, or like, wow, I never thought about this before. Like just random people that are in the dance world that I've, you know, maybe spoken to a few times or literally have never talked to, and them like DMing me and like maybe sharing their stories with me or just saying that like this meant a lot to them, like that is a really extremely gratifying feeling. And like that's definitely why I want to keep up with the page, just because I just really find it like nice and it makes me feel good when people get something out of like what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, I know that you talked about time management, but on the other hand, what do you think has been the most challenging thing?
I think it's just trying to, you know, come up with new things to talk about. You know, like sometimes when you're just super busy, it can be all, like I've just been just having crazy rehearsals and I just finished my end of the year show and so I'm done. So I'm really, really hoping that I get back on track and like start posting much more than I am right now, because I just literally like haven't even had time to sit down or think about that. So I think just holding myself responsible and accountable, because I'm, you know, the only person who is going to be like, Ellen, you need to post, like, you need to, you know, get this information out there. Like, it's really up to me. So I think just like holding myself responsible in that account has been difficult, but I'm really hoping that I can like get back on track now that I'm about to have way more free time.
Yeah, I relate to that a lot. So has there been anything that you've learned or produced that you never would have initially expected?
Well, one thing, sometimes I just reach out to professional dancers and they're, I'm like, hey, like, you know, I have this page, would you ever want to answer some questions? And just having them like respond to me, like these professional dancers who are in like very big companies, and be like, sure, like, let's, you know, talk, or even having like you reach out to me. Or I did I did a podcast back in November, like having people reach out to me is like really, really crazy to me. So I think that's been really exciting. And yeah, I mean, just any, like really any interview that I've done, or I think whenever people reach out to me, it's like really surprising to me. And it's like, wow, people like actually see my page and like respond to what I'm doing. That's just a really cool feeling.
Yeah, that's really cool. What sort of impact do you hope to make on the dance community with Humans in Dance Project?
I just hope that people realize that first of all, like you don't have to suffer alone. I especially respond when like younger people reach out to me, like kids from, you know, my old school who are like, thank you for like putting this out there, because I remember like, you know, back in the day when I was like 14, ugh, I mean, I just felt so alone. I really had no one to talk to about this. And I just
really, really hope that, like, those kids that age know that, like, you can talk about this, you can get help, like, it's something that's, you know, a possibility for them. So I really hope that that affects them positively, and I just hope that the dance world moves along with the rest of the world right now so that we can move forward. And, you know, if we want to keep ballet alive, it's going to have to evolve, and it can't just stay stuck in one place. And I think that people are trying. Some people aren't, you know, so I'm hoping that, you know, because we people our age, like, we're going to be the next generation of, like, artistic directors and choreographers and all that stuff. So I'm really hoping that, you know, just a small thing like this, which I'm hoping someday can maybe become, like, a nonprofit organization or, you know, some type of charity, we can just lift those people up who want to make good change in the dance world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you talk a lot about body shaming in your project in here, and you know, that hasn't really changed, right? For instance, if there are two people in a competition and, you know, maybe they have similar skills, but one is skinnier than the other, has more of an ideal body, and quote-unquote looks more like a ballerino, then that person will get a higher score. So I really think our society and community to change our perspective on that.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I've heard just unbelievable stories about people that I think have, like, perfect stunning bodies, like, mm-hmm. not getting into places. Like, it really blows my mind. I mean, and that is like the real crazy illness is, like, you talk to these girls who you might look at in class and be like, ooh, like, I wish to God I looked like them. Like, my life would be so good if I looked like them. And then you talk to them and they're like, I hate myself. Like, I'm not skinny. Like, I'm so fat. And I'm just like, what? Like, how can you think that way? But I don't know if I've ever come across a ballet dancer who loves their body. I really don't think I have. And, like, I just don't understand why it has to be that way, because I know that I've never really looked at a dancer and been like, oh, wow, like, she's, her body's so ugly. Like, I don't think I've ever done that in my life. But when it's you, you are constantly thinking that. And when someone else is watching you, I'm just like, oh, wow, like, she does that so well, or she's so beautiful. So just those, like, mental games, I just wish that we could just stop.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if this does me. I haven't been taking classes because of COVID and schoolwork, but I feel like I like my body right now, but sometimes I'm like, but I don't like my ballet body though.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm just like, I like my body, but I don't like it as a ballet body, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense to me. I feel the exact same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just going back to your project, where do you see Humans in Dance Project in the near future?
Well, I think when I go to Boston Conservatory, I'm going to get a minor in creative entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that whatever skills I learn in that, I am able to carry over to Humans in Dance Project. And I'm just really hoping that I can expand it. And I'm hoping that it can become something where I can, like, fund smaller companies that kind of have, you know, ideals that align with mine, or, you know, I'm able to fund studios in, you know, less wealthy areas to just make dance accessible to everyone. I'm hoping that maybe it can kind of, like, erase some of the elitist ideals in ballet, you know, because there's that kind of saying, like, ballet is for everyone, dance is for everyone, and it's, like, a nice sentiment, but ballet is really expensive, like, really expensive. So I'm hoping that maybe it can become something that where I can give, like, scholarships to young kids, and just try to help, like, diversify ballet and just dance in general.
Yeah, that's a good goal. And I can't wait to see where the project's going to be in the future. So moving on to some fun questions, this may be or may not be related to dance, but who are your heroes?
I think I would just have to say Oprah. I listened to Oprah's Super Soul Conversations, which is, like, a podcast, mm-hmm. Where she interviews, like, all types of people. And I really, really love her because she's such a fantastic interviewer, and that's something that I really want to develop, obviously, because, you know, like, you do interviews, I do interviews, so I really look at her for that. I've just learned so much about, like, spirituality and, like, what, like, our calling really is in life from her podcasts. So although I, like, love so many celebrities, I feel like someone I want to embody when I'm older is probably Oprah.
Yeah, my mom actually bought 2 books from her recently, and I'm thinking I might read one of hers.
You should.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the most useless talent that you have? I mean, you can't call a talent useless, but if you had to call it useless.
Oh my gosh, I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, for example, I have hyperextended elbows, and they're pretty useless, especially for ballet.
Like, yeah, I actually, that's what comes to mind for me. I won't show you, but, like, I can pop my shoulder sockets, like, completely out of place.
Oh, my God.
Then they look, like, really gross, like wings. I won't show you, but it makes my, sometimes I'll just do it in class, and my friends find it really funny. So I guess that's pretty useless.
Yeah, that is talent, though. I can never do that. Okay, this is more like a creative question, but what will finally break the internet?
I don't know. People focus on the craziest things nowadays. I don't know. What do you think?
I honestly have no idea.
I don't even know. I feel like people just care about, like, celebrities, like, going to, like, when, like, a celebrity, like, dyes their hair, like, everyone, like, loses their mind. So I feel like anything could break the internet, honestly. If they're famous enough, I don't even know.
Yeah, or I just thought of if we figured out if aliens exist.
Ooh, that'd be really cool, actually. I would like that to happen.
All right, so for the last question, do you have any last words, such as tips, suggestions, or comments you would like to tell people who are listening to this podcast?
I would just say that if you're struggling with anything in dance, just know that you're not alone and everyone goes through it. And there's, like, definitely a brighter future ahead because we've already made so much progress in the last, like, 5 years. Mental health is definitely becoming something that's normalized and people are talking about. So just know that you're not alone. And also, if there's something that you do want to start and, like, you do find accounts like Humans in Dance Project or Stairway for Ballet inspiring, like, just do it. Because, you know, we're the next generation, and if you want to make a change, you should at least try. What's the harm? So I would just say go for it.
Those were wise words. Thank you, Ellen, so much for joining us today.
Thank you. This was so fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We have some exciting news. Our STEP program is finalizing our summer schedule, and as you know, our STEP program gives free online ballet classes to children ages 5 to 10, especially those who can't afford it, connecting them to experienced volunteer dancers. So if you are an experienced dancer and you would like to volunteer, you can sign up in our website, and if you're a parent who is listening, you can always sign up your children there. Check out our website, stayoverballet.com, to register to get the Zoom links every week. To keep up with our social media, check out our Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube.